Chapter 25. I waited as the gunman walked to the end of the third-to-last row of shelves. I waited as he rounded the corner to the second-to-last row of shelves. I waited as he started to walk down the row. I waited until he was right in front of me, separated from me only by the shelves and books. Then, with all the force I could muster, I shoved the books through the shelves with a tremendous crash. Books flew everywhere. The gunman cried out and crumpled under the onslaught of NLRB reporters. I kicked the shelves over on top of him and raced down the corridor. I skidded to a stop in front of the elevators and pressed the button frantically. I could hear smashing and swearing from the library. He was coming closer. I hammered the button again. I heard feet beating down the corridor. I was ready to run when suddenly an elevator door shot open. I threw myself into the car and hit and held the close button. The elevator well plunged into darkness just before the elevator door slid shut. I pounded the button for the lobby, but I couldn't get the button to light or the elevator to budge. I heard the gunman struggling and grunting on the other side of the elevator door, and I knew what he was doing. He was holding down the elevator call button. That's why the elevator wouldn't budge. It was confused. It didn't know whether it was coming or going. I splayed my fingers and ground my hand into the close and lobby buttons. Unless one of us let go, the elevator would stay right there with the door shut. If he let go, the elevator would plummet to the lobby. If I let go, the elevator doors would open, and he would kill me. I couldn't let go. The gunman started kicking at the elevator doors. They shook and creaked, but they held. I kept a death grip on the close and lobby buttons as I fumbled for the emergency telephone. A long, thick-bladed knife stabbed through the crack in the doors and began to twist. The gunman was trying to pry the doors apart. I managed to knock the phone free and screamed, "Frank, it's Jack! Take all the elevators down to the lobby right now!" I kept screaming in the general direction of the phone as I hung on to the buttons with one hand and grasped for the knife with the other. I had to wrap my hand around it to keep it from twisting the doors apart. Even with my hand cushioned by my sweatshirt, the knife sliced deeply into my wrist and palm. I somehow managed to hold it straight. The elevator lurched, and wonderfully and miraculously, the car began to drop. Frank had heard my screams for help. I pushed desperately against the knife. If I couldn't get it out of the door, it would wedge against the ceiling of the elevator and stall the car. I shoved it over and over, cutting my hand anew each time. The gunman was holding the knife firm, still trying to twist the doors open. As the car dropped, my grip on the knife lifted me off my feet. I held my breath and let the knife take my weight. The shock and pain of the resulting cut were dizzying, but my weight knocked the knife out of the door. I went crashing to the floor of the elevator. The car plummeted toward the lobby. I knelt on the floor, clutching my wounded hand in my sweatshirt, the rush and swaying of the elevator making me lightheaded and sick to my stomach. It seemed like such a long way down. I remember landing at the lobby. I remember Frank's voice calling me. I remember yelling his name. At least I thought I was yelling. It sounded deafening to me in the elevator. I remember looking up and seeing Frank framed in the doorway. I remember Frank holding my arm. I remember seeing blood all over and hearing lots of sirens. But after that, I don't remember very much. The knife had slashed my wrist.